Candle, go light your world. Hi, everyone. My name is Melody, and I am very excited to invite you all to have you here today to attend our Family Life Conference. Today, I want to welcome all our viewers as well, and thank you for coming. Definitely a big blessing to have Ray and Elizabeth Rengifo speak to us today. Before I begin, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about what they have done and parts of their lives. So they would like to talk to us today about how to stay together in a time in our history where everything and anything tries to separate us. Ray and Elizabeth have been here at Sacramento Central for over 20 years. They've been married for over 40 years, which is a feat in my opinion. And they have served in many capacities here at the church. They have been advisors to family life. They have been youth and marriage counselors. They have worked as greeters. They have worked as everything. Ray is a church elder here at Central. He is also a registered nurse that works for the state of California. He works for the health department as an inspector. And Elizabeth, his wife, is a mother of two. She is also a graduate of AFCO, which is a Bible course that I'm sure many of you are familiar with. And she is an evangelist through that that body. She graduated in 2002. She has a son and a daughter. Her daughter married a pastor and her son became a pastor. So she has a lot of experience in families in general. They have traveled from east to west in the United States, but they have also left our country to share this message that you will hear today with individuals in Latin America, if I'm not mistaken.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath. I'm glad that you're joining us here today for this special God family reunion. For the ones that do not know us, I am Ray Rengifo. This is my wife, Elizabeth. And before we begin our talk, I would like to personally thank the Family Life Committee of Central Church for inviting us today to speak to you today on the family. But most importantly, God in the family, God in the home. Now, we are quite qualified to speak about families. My wife comes from a large family. She is one of 10 children, and 7 of them are girls. Is there a picture of the family? She's one of 10 children. Can you believe that? Not 3, not 5, but 10 children. 7 of them are girls. You should have seen me on the day when the day came to select my bride. Don't worry, darling. I only had eyes for you. Don't worry, darling. As for me, I am the oldest of 5 brothers. My brother Eli is the only one that inherited my grandfather's green hazel eyes. I still have not forgiven him for that. My brother Alex, he's an electrical engineer. My brother Edward is an accountant. And my brother Gerardo is a financial professional. He sells life insurance and group health insurance for individuals and businesses. So we have been a happy family all these years growing up. Now, you know that the devil's out to attack families, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that the devil's out there and is working hard to break up families, cause separation, cause divorce, bring fighting into the family quarrel, and that is not right. We should not let him have his way. He cannot see loving Christian couples or families together coming to church. He squeezes into our homes, he squeezes into our hearts, until there's like anger and jealousy, and maybe it leads to separation and divorce. So if you don't resolve this right away, if you don't come to the Lord in prayer and ask for his strength, it may later lead to fighting and even separation and divorce. So do not let the devil get his way. Besides working with families, the devil also tries to work through our governments. I don't know if you knew this or not, but the U.S. Census of 2010, after the U.S. Census of 2010, they went back to the books to change their definition of family. Because their definition of family was a father, a mother, and children, like God, Son, and the Holy Spirit, what God meant it to be, father, mother, and children. But they would come across some households that there would be women, middle-aged women, with their teenage daughters who just had a baby, and they would say, we are a family. I'm taking care of my daughter. I know she's not married. I know we don't know who the father is, but we have a family here. Or they would come across homes that were of same-sex couples that have adopted children themselves, and they would say, we are a family. You cannot say we're not a family. Or either couples that got together and decided to raise a family, but they had no evidence of a marriage license or got married. So really, the devil is really trying hard to disrupt the family unit, the family structure he wants to destroy very hard. Did you know that in downtown Sacramento, there's a monument dedicated to the family? I don't know if many of you have seen this, but at the end of K Street, right before it runs into the Sacramento Convention Center, there's a monument made of bronze and straw by the artist Eduardo Oropesa. If you ever get a chance, if you ever find yourself downtown of Sacramento, go to the end of K Street before the Convention Center, and you'll see a monument dedicated to the family where it shows a father, a mother, and children. You could visit it and later on study and see what those heavy rock means or what the artist had in mind when he pressed that. Now, before we continue, before I let my wife speak right now, let me briefly share with you that I have really been blessed with a beautiful, wonderful wife. She treats me so good, and I do not deserve it. She treats me like a king. I don't deserve being treated like a king. She keeps the house clean, always prepares me wonderful meals. Even when our children were small, she would feed the kids and keep a clean house. We were always fortunate to have my wife. She even takes care of me before I leave the house every morning. She gives me some vitamins. Can you believe that? Take your vitamins, but not two or three vitamins. We're talking a handful of vitamins. She says, here, take this for your hair so you won't lose your hair. Take this for your skin. You need shiny skin. You're getting old, so put on this for your joints. You need this for your joints. Here, for all of you know, darling, that's true, darling.
This was not in our notes.
It's a handful of vitamins that you give me all the time. I just want to show how much you take care of me, my darling. Yeah, all the time.
Okay.
So the next photo that you're going to see up there is a picture of our children, but I don't know if you want to begin with that. Share with us what the Lord has inspired you. Go ahead.
Before we continue with sharing the pictures of our children and talk about them and how the Lord has blessed us with them, I just want to tell you that this afternoon, couples, marriage, and singles, you would like to enjoy our talk this afternoon. I was about to be married with my wedding and everything, and this gentleman here, he said, you're not going to marry that guy, you're going to marry me. So you're going to hear the rest of that story and how that happened. And I married him, and my wedding was already set, but you'll hear that this afternoon. And before we even continue, there are, at the hostess desk, we have handouts that you can take home. It's 101 ways to praise a child. Another one is parent-child relationship, and the other one is the Spirit of Prophecy Council on Family Circle. So those are free for you to take home, and it's wonderful that we could read those notes. As my husband said earlier, I come from I'll stand up in a little while because I like to stand up and speak. I am one of the 10 children. We were raised in a Christian home. My father was the pastor, the evangelist in a what is the president conference. So all those three my father was. So as you can see, my father was busy. He was away from home, like maybe 1 week, 2 weeks at a time, doing evangelist series. And my mother took the role for us to train us in the Lord. I follow the steps of my mother. So we have, if they could put some our children on the wall. We have two children that the Lord blessed us with.
Amen.
Is John and Elizabeth. And they're married now. John is a pastor for the Maryland Conference and is married with Danny, and they have three beautiful children. Elizabeth also married a pastor, and he's a pastor here at Woodside locally in Sacramento. They also have three beautiful children, and they're watching us, so we love your children. Mm-hmm. So I followed that role of my mother. My mother was a mother that she would do worship with us morning and evening.
Amen.
She would teach us how to love Jesus. On Friday was a day of practice church. I remember to this day. So I did the same with my children. So if I remember, this is what my mother did. 10 children, since Monday, she will begin getting our dress, shoes, and little bow matching our dress. I remember for the 7 girls, since Monday. So when Friday came, it was a day of practice church at home. That was our day of practice. And I remember 10 little boxes, and then each box was a Bible, our lesson, our offering, a little notebook where we need to write, you know, whatever the pastor say. And then she will reward us with cookies or something that we like. But that was our life with my parents growing up. What else? Okay. As parents, and we've been teaching this in many, many churches, like Melody mentioned, and as parents, we need to follow the teachings of Jesus. In Deuteronomy 6:6-7 says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk to them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lay down, and when you rise up." That means all day long, teaching our children. If the Lord has blessed us with children, you know, as we see many families here today with children, thank you for coming. They're only on loan. The Lord says that he's only lending us for a little short while, our children. Today we will be looking from the Bible and the spirit of prophecy and principles of loving our children, teaching, discipline. We're going to learn what the word discipline means, because many parents have different ways of disciplining their children. And in Psalms 127:3-5 says, "Children are a gift from the Lord. They are God's possessions, not ours. He has temporarily placed them under our care. And in fact, children are from the Lord." They're on loan, I'm sorry. My husband's gonna share with you a few quotes.
Share with you a quote that's found in Child Guidance in page 27, where it specifically talks about making a right beginning. "Your children are God's property, bought with a price. Be very particular, O fathers and mothers, to treat them in a Christ-like manner. We need to make the education of our children our business, for their salvation depends largely upon the education given them in childhood. Parents and guardians must themselves maintain purity of heart and life in their desire their children to be pure."
And also we have from the book of Child Guidance, and this is something I need to emphasize to all parents. There's no school, there's no university, there's no where you can go and say, "I'm going to become a good parent, I'm going to be a loving parent, Christian." But the Word of God is teaching us. It also, can you pass me some of those books, Arlene?
Are you talking about Child Guidance?
Child Guidance was my guide to say, what do I do with these two beautiful children that the Lord has given us? And Child Guidance was one of the books that guided me on what to do with my children. So I recommend this book.
Another the Adventist Home.
Another book is the Adventist Home. If you don't have it, go to the ABC store. I think they still have the 25% off. They're wonderful books on how to raise our children.
How about counsels to parents and teachers?
Yes.
You didn't use that? You did? Okay. There you go.
I just want to mention something. Satan is out to get our children. Mm-hmm. Satan is like a roaring lion, thinking whom he might devour. And especially when he comes, when he gets our children, he got the home. So we need to be like in lookout for our parents. We're going to be teaching, I mean, sharing more about the spirit of prophecy. What does he say about what to do with our children? It says from the book Child Guidance, page 38, if you want to make a note, fathers and mothers, obtain all the help you can from the study of the books and publications. Take time to read to your children. Form a home circle for reading, in which every member of the family shall lay aside the busy cares of the day and unite in study. Many fathers and mothers seem to think that if they feed and clothe their little ones and educate them according to the world, they have done their duty. They are too much occupied in business or pleasure to make the education of their children the study of their lives. As you can see, problems. Every church that we have gone and we ask, what is the problem in the church? And I remember Dominican Republic, we went to with Maranatha, and they always send us as the spiritual leaders. And I asked, the pastor asked me, because he learned that I just graduated from Amazing Facts, the College of Evangelism. So I'm on fire. I wanted to share the word. And the pastor said, Elizabeth, would you like to have the sermon today? And I said, yes. And what is the need of the church? You know what he said to me? Everything. So that means everything. We need from God everything. But the first problems our homes is not happy is because worship at home has disappeared. We do not pray as family anymore. Father and mother working many hours. No time for spouse or children. Family stopped going to church. And as a result, the problems, we do not communicate with the only one problem solver, which is who?
Jesus.
Jesus.
Can I share something right here, darling?
Okay.
There's a couple of co-workers in my office that ask me frequently, have I taken my grandchildren to Disneyland yet? I'm up to here. They ask me all the time, so have you taken your grandkids to Disneyland? Have you taken them to Disneyland? I said, no, why should I take them to Disneyland? They said, it's the happiest place in the world, the happiest place on earth. Then I thought for a moment, you know what? Our homes should be the happiest place on earth. Not seek an amusement park to entertain for hours and hours and spend a lot of money. They go 3-4 times a year, they buy season passes, and they go to Disneyland to be happy. But their homes are lacking that joy that we need in our Christian homes. So I wanted to share that.
Thank you, darling. That's
nice. Our homes should be joyful.
Continuing what I was saying, it's why the problems. It says our children don't have interest in church anymore. We're going to be sharing with you why children leave the church in a few minutes. No interest for reading the Bible. They do not respect their parents. They left church and they left home. Even the little ones, no interest for Sabbath school anymore. Some reasons why they leave the church is, and let me share, this is going to be a little sad. And I think I'm going to stand up.
Oh. Wait, be careful. Something I said?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
I remember attending when I was in school in Amazing Facts. And we share our stories, you know, when we went knocking doors, we came back and share our stories in the school. And one of them, I said, well, my story today I'm going to share is that police chased us today. And I remember Pastor Gary Gibbs, our teacher, he said, oh, Elizabeth, I need to stand up for this one. And I said, I need to sit down for this one. And I said, I need to stand up for this one. Because it was a story that I needed to share. And I just remember right now. Okay. This is a kind of sad story that I will share with you. But why is it that our children leave church? We've been teachers, Sabbath school teachers, juniors, early teen, youth, for many years, my husband and I. And we have learned sad stories. This, a daughter of a head deacon in the church, You know that Sabbath morning is that is when Satan comes the most into the family. And this father and mother driving to church, two girls in the back, father and mother are arguing Sabbath morning. And he was going to have the prayer that morning, the worship prayer. But they're arguing so intense. And daughter went close to dad and says, "Dad, you are praying this morning. Can you stop fighting with mom?" And you know what dad did? Sorry, children. He just gave a blow to the back and broke one of the girl's tooth. I remember coming to Sabbath school that morning, and she is sitting right there, bleeding and crying. And I said, "What happened?" And then she tells me the story. And she said, "I don't want to come back to church. I don't want to come back anymore. I hate my dad." Oh, fathers. I had to stay with her. I cry with her. I pray with her. And, you know, but this is how the Satan, you know, and the fight is not with our children. The fight is with Satan. You know, because he loves to do that. And this is for our members of our church. I'm going to share this. Another occasion, we were teaching the Sabbath school. And this is a little boy, like 12 years old. The mother said, "Elizabeth, invite my boy to your class. Invite my boy to your Sabbath school class." I went and said, "Johnny, come with me. Come with me. We're going to make it fun. Come to me with my class." He would just sit in the back, forced by mom, coming to church, and with his head down. One day I said, "Johnny, this is the last time I am going to ask you to come and join in class. I'm never going to bother you again." I even knelt down right there where he was sitting, looking down. And he didn't say a word. Guess what? Next Sabbath, I used to get to church early, even though my children were very small, but they got used to doing that. Who do you think was in my class before me? Johnny. I got so excited, so happy, that I gave him a kiss. And guess what he did? He wiped off the kiss. That's okay. Next Sabbath, I do the same thing. But the third Sabbath, I just came and said, "Johnny," and I shook his hand. But when I walked away, he says, "Where's my kiss?" So you know, children, and then mother asked, what are you learning in class now that you go?" He says, "I don't know. I just know they love me there." Church should be a loving place for our children. That same Johnny is out of the church. And you know why? When we left, well, that one Sabbath, I was teaching the class. And one of the girls came running, and he interrupted me. And he says, "Elizabeth, Miss Elizabeth, you need to come out. You need to come out. Johnny is crying." And I said, "Oh, okay, my kids, wait for me. I'm going to." I think my husband took over. Johnny was crying in the curb outside the church. And I said, "Johnny, what happened?" He said, and he pointed, and it was the head deacon. He pointed, he said, "He told me to go home. He told me to, why do I come to church wearing this pants?" You know how the children, the boys, hanging the pants. And he said, "Why don't you stay home and watch TV? Why do you come to church, you know, dressed like that?" You know what? I got myself into many problems defending my children. And I think that's what Jesus did. And I went, I said, "Oh, my brother, what would Jesus have said if he saw this boy? What would Jesus have said to the boy?" And of course I cry. And I cry many times. And you know, I heard that this boy, it's out of the church. We left Southern California. I wish I would have brought him all with me. But he left the church. No one to love them. So I say that, you know, and sometimes I have seen parents taking their own little children, small children. Church is long for our children. But I have seen the parents taking them out and spank them. So what happens? Church, the children put pain and church together. You think they're gonna stay when they grow up? They can't wait to get out of the church. They can't wait because that's why, you know, when my mother trained us to church, you know, practice church. And I remember my mother, she would sit in the middle of the 10 of us. My mother's eyes were our direction, if you know what I mean. Because, and she would just look at us. And then we'll remember the training at home. So then we'll compose ourselves. And children should never hear these parents' complaints about, this is another thing why the children leave the church. And I heard it, and they have shared it with me, that the parents criticize the pastor all the way home from church. Or they criticize the sermon. Or they criticize the brother and sister. You think the children are going to love church? When God made Adam and Eve, they had a happy home because Jesus gave what's in the home. But they only enjoyed it for a very short while because they disobeyed it, so Jesus was not there anymore. Many families have disconnected themselves from the problem solver, which is just Jesus. And, you know, Satan will keep us so busy, hurried, distracted, and we never have time to go to the problem solver, which is Jesus. I'm almost done, my darling. It's your turn.
I'm very patient. You know me, darling. I'm a patient husband.
Even you should see us at home. It's a happy home.
Isaiah.
I mean, my husband has the best sense of humor in the world.
The best.
I call
one?
Him the clown, but he's that's why if you see wrinkles on me, it's because he makes me laugh. But going back to our says, even though Satan wants us to destroy happy homes, let's sing with children, with Jesus and the family, happy,
Amen.
Happy home. But some children, how can they sing happy, happy home sometimes when there's so much
associated with pain?
So sometimes when you want to sing happy, happy home, the children are confused. There's no happy, happy home. Oh. But this is not our home, okay? Just remember, we're going home to live with Jesus. This is not our home. We're just passing through. This is not our home. Okay, my darling, you're coming soon.
You want to read Isaiah 8?
Well, it says our children are very social. They don't worry for finances or cares for the home. They are children. The busyness of the parents does not allow us to spend time playing with them. Many times they get themselves calling for attention. Even if it's negative attention, they'll do something so they could get your attention. Let me share a little story and then I'll let my husband speak. There's a little boy that asks his daddy, "Daddy," he's so happy that he comes home every day. "Daddy, can you play with me today?" And daddy, of course, with his briefcase and busy of the day, he looks at, "Oh, son, not today. I don't have time. I had a long day at work, and I still have to finish up some projects." And the little boy, "Can you play tomorrow, Daddy?" And tomorrow was the same thing, and the day after. Finally, one day he says, "Daddy, how much money do you make an hour?" And Daddy goes, "Why are you asking me that? Daddy, just tell me how much money." And the father said, "Well, I make around $30 an hour. Why?" And then he just left running. I need that slide where the little boy is working in the garden. There, thank you. I mean, I'm supposed to be a little older than that. But the boy goes, "I'm going to make $30. I'm going to make." And he goes to the neighbor and says, "Can I help you rake your leaves or clean your car?" You know, to make the story short, he will come in money. "Mommy, count, how much money do I have?" "Well, son, you have $25. So it's, "Oh, five more dollars." One day, he has all $30 in his little box. And he said, "Daddy, Daddy," he hear the car coming. He says, "My daddy's going to play with me today." Daddy, Daddy, here's 1 hour's money for you. I hope I don't cry. And Daddy looks at him and tears in his eyes. It was like a wake-up call. A wake-up call. Because Daddy says, my son has to pay me to play with him. How many parents are like that? How many mothers, especially nowadays that Facebook is like, excuse me, I've seen mothers on Facebook and the baby crying in the stroller. Okay, Daddy. Oh, it's me. I'm sorry. From the book, The Power of a Praying Parent by Stormy. You know, there's a lot of books that are not Seventh-day Adventist books, but they're good books for us to read. The book is Praying by Stormy Omartian. It says, if your child has made poor choices, don't blame yourself and stop praying. Keep communication open with your child. Instead of giving up, resolve to be even more committed to prayer. Say, I have only begun the fight. Keeping in mind that the part of the fight is to pray. God actually fights for you. Remember that your fight is not with your child, but with Satan. It is with the devil himself. He's your enemy, not your child. Stand strong in prayer until you see the breakthrough in your child's life. And I'm gonna tell this real quick. I'm sorry, my darling.
Thank you.
Now you know when my husband introduced my children, says my son is a pastor, my son-in-law is a pastor, and my wife likes to preach. So, okay. But these are important things that we have to cover. Fathers and mothers, when you're attending to your children and the phone rings, sometimes, you know, I see my phone and say, uh-oh, she likes to speak for 2 hours. You know, now I could speak for 2 hours, but when your children are small and you're attending to them, you could politely come and say, my brother, my sister, you know, I'm busy, I'm attending to my child right now. Can we talk another time? And, you know, instead of just leaving the children unattended when you're in the middle of something. Okay, my darling, it's your turn.
Did you read Isaiah 8:18? Let me share that if you haven't yet. Isaiah 8, verse 18 says, someday we will need to answer to Jesus when he asks, where are the children I loaned you? And we can reply to Jesus, here I am, and the children who the Lord has given me. As my wife has mentioned, our children are loaned to us, and we have to teach them about the love of Jesus and keep them on the right track so they could become independent, wonderful growing adults. For the Adventist Home, on page 187, here's an interesting quote that I want to share with you. The Adventist Home, page 187. Parents, you carry responsibilities that no one can bear for you. How sad is it that many parents have cast off their God-given responsibility to their children and are willing that strangers should bear it for them? They are willing that others should labor for their children and relieve them all of the burden in the matter. The children are growing up being raised by strangers rather than their own father and mother.
That is so sad.
And then we wonder why the devil wants to destroy the family unit and destroy the structure.
Also in Adventist Home, page 183 says, parents should not permit business cares, worldly customs, and fashions to have control over power over them so that they neglect their babyhood and fail to give their children proper instruction as they increase in years. It's your turn, darling.
In the book Adventist Home, there's a wonderful quote that says, how many parents are lamenting the fact that they cannot keep their children at home? There are many parents who are sad because their children ran away from home at age 16, 17, 18, and they want nothing to do with their parents anymore. At an early age, they have desired for the company of strangers. It is the duty of parents to watch their going out and their coming in. Parents should make home pleasant and cheerful. Sometimes I feel that maybe we made our home too pleasant and cheerful for our children, because they were 18, 19, 20, 25 years old, and they were still at home. I said, we're making it too pleasant for them. Let's make it a little unpleasant. So finally, they left the nest.
I remember.
But I mean, 25?
They were 25, 30? And I remember one day he asked, Dad, do we need to leave home?
They were having so much fun at home, I said.
And he said,
yes, you do, I said.
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do. You have to leave home. We prepared you to leave home.
We love our children. You could go ahead and go ahead.
You have slide number 14 about Adventist Home, page 267.
Must be on the same page.
Want me to read that one?
Okay.
Okay, there's a quote in Adventist Home on page 267. It says, infant children are a mirror for the mother in which she may see reflected her own habits. How careful then should be her language and behavior in the presence of these little learners. The things that you say, the way that you act, the way that you behave, if you are impatient or always angry, your children pick that up, and they tend to mimic and copy your behaviors. So be careful on how we talk and how we act around our children. They mimic our behaviors. They are little learners.
Are you done?
The next one is mine, but go ahead. Did you have something to add?
Yeah, because well, I need to speak like this. Even in a Sabbath school, in church, counsels to parents and teachers says, it's page 170, it says, teachers who are nervous and easily irritated should not be placed over our children and youth. They must love the children because they are the younger members of the Lord's family. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, Dali.
If you are a couple, married couple, and you're beginning to have children, you must be on the same page when educating your children. Decide between both of you as to how you're going to proceed. In the book of Amos, it says, can two people walk together without agreeing in the direction? We as parents should be in prayer at all times and ask the Lord's guidance and direction and pray for wisdom from above so he can know how to deal with temper tantrums or how to deal with certain behaviors that is challenging for you. He wants us to be on the same page and the same direction as we train our children.
There's books, like I said at the beginning, that they're not Seventh-day Adventist books, but they're good books. It's a book, it says, what are we feeding our kids? It says that the television, the colors and the moving images on the television attracts children virtually from birth. Commercials with fast-moving pictures, bright colors, and snappy music are especially alluring the children. In one study, six-month infants got interested so much in television that when they cry when they turn off the sound and left the picture. Oh, it says children spend more time watching TV than doing anything else except sleeping. According to University of Michigan, Professor Bruce Watkins says, the Consumer Union, publishing on Consumers Report magazine, estimates that the average child potentially sees between 30,000 and 40,000 commercials a year. Whether rich or poor, children learn tremendous amount about the world from watching programs and commercials. Now you would say, no wonder. They don't pay attention in school. They have deficit attention disorder, because this is all in their minds. But this is because we as parents allow them to do that. It says a slide, oh, The Adventist homepage 265. Was that you and my darling or me?
No, that's you, Paige.
This is the mother to enter upon her work with courage and energy, relying constantly upon divine aid in all her efforts. I say, parents, pray, pray, pray. Love them and pray for them. Don't push them, but love them and pray, pray. She's the mother to never rest satisfied until she sees her children in gradual elevation in character until they have higher object in life. Mother forgets herself time and again, but a silent prayer to her pitying Redeemer calms her nerves, and she's able to hold the reins of self-control with dignity. She speaks with calm voice, but it cost her an effort to restrain harsh words and subdue angry feelings.
Amen.
I have a ministry, and I have to go quick. It's called Tiny Embrace Media. I mean, it's Tiny Embrace. And I write books. I don't know when it's gonna be, but my producer is so busy always. One of the books that I'm writing is called Someday You Will Sleep. And that's directly for the mother, but it's also for the fathers. It's because right now we're so busy. We are in the time, you know, we wanna sleep 7 to 9 hours. Let's leave it for later. Right now we need to wake up early, do your own devotional, pray for your children, pray for your spouse, make yourself beautiful for your spouse. And so when the babies wake up, when your children wake up, you're ready to go. You're ready to attend to them. And someday you will eat sitting down. Someday you will put your feet in warm water, you know, and relax more. But right now it's the time that we need, Satan is really out there to get our babies. This, sadly, even children that are neglected, that are not loved, are committing suicide, even in the church. So fathers, mothers, love them and pray for them. Love your children and be in much in secret prayer. I need to stand up for this, darling.
You need to stand up for this one? Okay.
I'm sorry.
See what happens?
Satan is right here. Okay. This is... Not work. Can you hear me? Oh. Thank you, my darling. From the book, I don't know if how many of you have heard Dr. Kuzma, Kate Kuzma, and 3ABN. And she tells us the difference between disciple and discipline. What is discipline? How many times have you heard, say, a parent, look at that child, he needs discipline. Let's see what discipline is according to God. Discipline, it means a disciple who follows the instruction of another. One who disciples, lives or gives instructions to such a way as to encourage others to follow. The word discipline in disciple comes from the same Latin word, discipulus, meaning to learn. The role of the parent, therefore, is to discipline their children in such a way that the children are willing to follow their parents' instructions. Now we're talking about Psalms 23, the shepherd's different way of discipline. Picture in your mind a shepherd in the flock of sheep. Pastor Chris talked about the sheep this morning. The shepherd's main task is to care for the sheep, providing good pastures, safe water, and protection. The sheep are grazing in tender green grass and drinking from a cool, clean spring water. The shepherd is holding a rod in his hand. The shepherd loves the sheep, but as the lamb begins to wander away from the safety of the flock, what do you see the shepherd doing? How does she or he gets the lamb to come back to the flock? Did the shepherd get angry and scream? Did he or she force the lamb to come back to the flock by beating him? How do you see the shepherd use the rod of correction? What tone of voice do you hear the shepherd using with the lamb? How does the shepherd train the lamb to follow? If you read Psalms 23, note the role of the good shepherd. Why do you think that the psalmist could say, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me"? Think about it, parents, think about it. Could a lamb who receives frequent beatings say, "Thy rod and thy staff comfort me"? You can avoid rebellion, positive aggression, and resentful in small children by doing this: divert direction, reward positive behavior, maintain positive relationship, motivate rewards versus consequences, and pray. Okay, darling.
Darling, may I take this time to share a poem with you, please? It's titled, "If Jesus Came to Your House Today." We call ourselves Christians. We come to church weekly. But in actuality, does Jesus really live in our home every day? I would like to share this poem that was written by Lois Blanchard from Florida, titled, "If Jesus Came to Your House." If Jesus came to your house to spend a day or two, if he came unexpectedly, I wonder what you would do. Oh, I know you give your nicest room to such an honored guest, and all the food you serve to him would be the very best, and you would keep assuring him you're glad to have him there, that serving him in your own home is joy beyond compare. But when you saw him coming, would you meet him at the door with arms outstretched and welcome your heavenly visitor? Or would you have to change your clothes before you let him in, or hide some magazines and put the Bible where it's been? Would you turn off the radio and hope he hadn't heard, and wish you hadn't uttered that last loud, hasty word? Would you hide your worldly music or put some hymn books out? Could you let Jesus walk right in, or would you rush about? And I wonder, if the Savior spent a day or two with you, would you go right on doing the things that you always do? Would you keep right on saying the things you always say? Would life for you continue as it does from day to day? Would your family conversation keep up its usual pace? And would you find it hard each meal to say a table grace? Would you sing the songs you always sing and read the books you read? And let him know the things on which your mind and spirit feed. Would you take Jesus with you everywhere you go, you plan to go? Or would you maybe change your plans for just a day or so? Would you be glad to have him meet your very closest friends? Or would you hope they stay away until his visit ends? Would you be glad to have him stay forever on and on? Or would you sigh with great relief when he at last was gone? It might be interesting to know the things that you would do if Jesus Christ in person came to spend some time with you.
As we conclude this today, there was a story that I heard from a pastor, a large painting that was given to this family, poor family, but it was a beautiful, beautiful, large painting that occupied most of the wall. When they brought that painting inside the home, they noticed that there were holes in the wall, there were stains on the wall, so they said, "You know what, we need to paint the wall so the picture could look, it's as beautiful as it is." They painted the wall. When they painted the wall, the picture stood up more. But then they noticed that the wall next to it and the other wall were like not the same. So they decided to little by little paint each wall. And all of a sudden, they say, okay, this room is beautiful. What about the rest of the house? Little by little, as poor they were, but they painted the whole house only because one painting came into the house. When Jesus comes into our home, he doesn't only changes the walls, he changes our hearts, our thinking, our way of treating our children, our brothers and sisters in church, our pastors. So this morning, if Jesus is coming to your home, or you want Jesus to come and bless our children, I would like for you to either stand where you are or raise your hand so I can pray and pray with you. Dear Heavenly Father, as we conclude this, things that which is it's not even the beginning of the things you have for us to learn to be a good parents, to be a good loving people in our church, in our home. Oh, Father, I pray that you could bless each home, each father, each mother, each child, that you could, so when you come, my Father, we could say, he are the children that you loaned to me. He are the children. Here's my husband. Here's my wife. We love you. We kept your commandments. And here we are. Oh, Father, come into our homes and stay. Don't let Satan close that door of Satan for our children. Destruction in our home. Take it away. We love you so much. Stay with us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sin for care, distress, oh.
before my husband prays, there is a little boy that on his father's lap, and he asks his father, "Daddy, how does God look like?" His father not know what to answer. He thinks and he says, "Well, God is forgiving, God is loving, God is patient." And he had a whole list of describing God. The little boy holds his father's face and he says, "Oh, Daddy, now I know how God looks like. He looks like you." Fathers, how do we look to our children? Pray that.
Let's bow our heads, please. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this opportunity you gave us that we could study your word pertaining to the family. I know that some families may have certain struggles, my Lord, and we need some of your guidance and we need wisdom from above that you could teach us and show us the way that we should go. I pray a special blessing over each household that's here today. May your angels surround our homes and make it pleasant, Lord, and may the Holy Spirit live in our hearts as parents, as mothers, as fathers, that the Holy Spirit will use us, that we could prepare the children that you have loaned to us and prepare them for the coming kingdom. May we be blessed by the message today, and may you continue being with us the remaining part of this day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.